Welcome back to Success Made to Last. This is our country western series, and we are so honored to have on one of my favorite singers of all time, Crystal Gayle. Crystal, welcome to Success Made to Last.
Well, thank you for having me.
It is truly an honor. Without telling our listening audience how old either of us are, I saw you in the 1970s at Texas A&M University on the front row of the concert, and I was so impressed and, of course, fell in love with you like 12,000 other Aggies did at the time. And I got to tell you, Crystal, it is so great to get to speak with you today because I am a longtime fan.
Well, I appreciate that. And that was just a couple of years ago, you know.
Thank you for saying that.
I remember that. I remember that show. I do, because it was so crazy and so fun. And, you know, that when you look back on all the things within a career, and there's a few things that really shine, and that was definitely one of them.
Oh, isn't that great to know? Thank you for that. That means a lot to about 900,000 Aggies that are out there. So we like that. Hey, I want you to tell our listening audience about your upbringing. I know you're from Paintsville, Kentucky, but I also know that you moved to Wabash, Indiana. So tell us a little bit about your upbringing.
Well, you know, I was born in Paintsville, and I'm the last out of eight children. So I was the only one born in a hospital. And not up in Butcher Holler, Kentucky, like all the others. And I think Mom thought she was going to have problems with me. I don't know. But, you know, then when I was about four, we moved to Wabash, Indiana. And that's where I grew up, where I went to school. I sang in all the choirs, all the swing groups. I'd sing with my brother's country bands on the weekends. And my friends, they'd have a rock band. I'd try to sing it. Music was just a part of my life.
Mm. It certainly is. And I must ask you, what do you think now in looking in the rearview mirror and even looking forward, what do you think is the greatest life lesson that music has taught you?
To me, music is healing. It can reach in and heal the soul if you let it. And, you know, I think that definitely in the world today, we need a lot of uplifting music that can say, hey, let's all get positive. Let's get rid of the hate and put a lot of love out there.
I totally agree. We need unification as a nation, and maybe music is the answer.
Music can. I mean, it really can put you in different moods. But definitely, you know, through the years, I would get letters from people that told me that they had a hard time growing up and my music would help them out, or they had went through a breakup, or they were sick, and all these different things that it was like, wow, you know, I just really, those letters mean more to me than any of my awards.
I thought that they probably do. You always have come across to us as someone who's so warm and compassionate and connected to their audience. And, you know, we think that that may be a part of the secret to your longevity in the industry. But for the young listeners out there and those that want to aspire to be a Crystal Gayle someday, what advice do you give them today about longevity in whatever they do and whatever pursuit they have?
To me, I think you have to be true to yourself. When I started out in my career, you know, I got pulled in a lot of different directions. People wanting me to wear certain things I didn't feel comfortable in, or to sing certain songs I didn't like. It was like, wait a minute, you know, I want to just be me. Or they want me to advertise different products that I didn't believe in. If I didn't use it and I didn't like it, why do I want to? I always said, I turned down a lot of money.
Yeah, but you stayed true to your purpose and integrity and all that. So in the end, that's what matters, doesn't it?
It matters to me. You know, I had great parents. My mom and dad had great values. And to see those values and to see my mother working, if you want to say the fingers to the bones, but I mean, she was a nurse. She, when she took a mail order class in nursing. And I mean, she could have been a doctor. You know, she was that bright and that into the healing process.
Mm. I share that with you. My mom was an RN and was in World War II. And I think hopefully I carry around the best part of mom today with a little bit of the spirit. And I can tell it in your voice too. I mean, you're part nurse.
Definitely. You know, I had this habit of going to with my kids to the doctor, and I would be telling the doctor what was wrong with them. Of course, he would say, okay, he'd smile, and he knew.
Mm, I love that. Hey, I've got to ask you, with our few minutes remaining, a couple of soft questions, but I think it will get at the heart of who you are. Let's start with this one. Who were your favorite mentors in your career, and how do you think that they shaped you to become the best version?
I would say Alan Reynolds, who is one of the best producers ever. You might know his music also with Garth Brooks, but Alan is just so great. But he actually wanted to bring out me. He didn't want to just go in the studio and just produce what he thought mm-hmm. was a good song. He wanted to have it where I had my input, and I was very shy when I first started out. So he really helped me know the person I am as a singer.
Anyone else besides that giant of a man?
Well, of course, as I've said, my mother was a big part of being very shy as a kid. She made me sing for everybody that walked into the door, and I would hide that she'd find me. So, you know, that definitely shaped me into wanting to be a singer.
Sure. What gives you hope in 2020?
I just hope, my hope is that the America that I know in 2020, that we're still there. I think that a lot of people will want to forget 2020 with all the things that's been going on. But I think that, you know, we are a great country. I know we are, and we're still out there. And I just want to know that we are going to get through this COVID-19 and all the things that's going on and come out stronger.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think we needed to hear your words of encouragement on that. This question is going out to or from young songwriters. How can young songwriters come up with a timeless classic song like "Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue"? What is the secret that you can reveal to them today to help them be inspired to write the next great song like that?
Songwriters, you know, it's so hard. Richard Lee wrote my very first number one, which was "I'll Get Over You," and then he wrote "Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue," which was my million seller single. Mm-hmm. That those songs don't come around very often, but to be a songwriter, you just start writing, and who knows which song is going to just do it all. You never can tell. I know when Richard wrote that song, he didn't know it was going to do what it did. He actually was going to send it to California for a couple people to listen to. And when Alan heard it, he said, "Richard, you're not going to send that anywhere." So we almost lost that one.
Wow.
So I'm glad that Alan heard it. And we took it into the studio. It was a very first take. When the machine went on, we did record it again. But what you hear on radio is a live take. I did try to re-sing it, but it didn't work. That live take in the studio was a performance with everyone. Alan put strings on it, and that was it.
Wow, I love that story. Okay, here's the final question for you, Crystal, and I want you to reflect your mom's heart, because I can sense that your mom is with you. What what do you say and what would your mom say is the greatest gift we can give to one another?
Oh, love is the greatest gift. It, being there, caring. You know, it's being there for people, your friends. It is love. It is, I'm not sure the other word I'm looking for is just, you know, when you have a good special friend, a good sister, a good brother, you know, they're going to come through and you're going to come through to them as well.
Mm. So well said. Crystal, Gail, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an honor, and we'd love to have you back on again in the coming years just to keep up to date with you. And again, thank you for creating some of our greatest memories at Texas A&M. It was just a great concert.
Thank you, Rick.
You're most welcome. That was.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, please join us again. That was Crystal Gale. We appreciate her joining us on our Success Made to Last Country Western Series. And if you enjoyed today's show, make sure and go to our website, successmadetolast.com, and comment to us on our contact page. We'd love for you to tell us about your positive experience. And if you want to start your week off strong, subscribe to our newsletter. It'll give you a little bit of wit and wisdom. As we always say here, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week. So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasine@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program. And thanks to our sponsor, Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards, and their hilarious Church Kitchen Lady cards. Church Kitchen Ladies are a bunch of maybe 20 million volunteers across the United States that work in 300,000 churches, and they say stuff like, mind your own biscuits and life will be gravy. They also say, crunch tacos, not abs. And psst, your crazy is showing, you might want to tuck that back in. And one of our favorites is, life is short, lick the bowl. If you want to find out more about the wonderful Church Kitchen Ladies and join their roundtable, go to gracefully-yours.com today and find out about Church Kitchen Ladies and purchase all the rest of the fine Gracefully Yours greeting cards.